Thank you for listening to Torah Media Atlanta. Won't you consider making a donation to help support this important work? Just go to TorahMediaAtlanta.com and click on the donate link. Thank you very much.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome. Some cashless review issues that we'll be having the opportunity to discuss tonight. I actually find myself in a little bit of a funny position. I embrace this role, but I really view myself as an opening act. When I received a number of inquiries in a very quick succession from a number of different people for a class on bug checking, that we should organize an opportunity to learn about how and when to check for bugs, and I said, absolutely, I'll try to arrange it. I spoke to Rabbi Stein, and I said, let's do another bug class review. We haven't done it in a while. And Rabbi Stein, in his humility, says, well, you know, there's always so much to say. We don't like doing a class only on bug checking, but if we throw it together with some other things on kashrus, so then we'll do it. So I said, fine, so I'll do something else. I'll do, I don't know, hard cheeses, maybe the Ezekiel bread. We'll do that, and then you do the bug checking in the end. Fine, that's what we did. Over the last couple of weeks, I've heard many comments from people who are basically said the same thing. They said, I am so excited for this bug checking class. I can't wait. Thank you so much for arranging it. I said, you know, there's a class. They just want to get to the bug checking, which is great. And I don't blame you, because this is like so much more exciting and so much more interesting. But meanwhile, I prepared all this stuff anyway, so we'll do it quickly so that we can get to the good stuff. If a scientist thinks she doesn't have anything to say, it's going to take much longer than he thinks anyway. There'll be lots of questions, and that's what everybody wants to see. So we'll just, there's literally just an opening act just to sort of whet your appetite, if you will, and begin some of this discussion. So let's talk a little bit about hard cheeses as our introduction. So the Torah forbids, we find numerous, three times in fact, the Torah prohibits eating meat and milk together, los of ashel gadiv achalev imo, not to cook meat together with milk. And Chazal understand the three different prohibitions of eating meat and milk together, cooking meat and milk together, or benefiting from meat and milk which has been cooked together. The rabbis or Chazal added, above and beyond those prohibitions, the requirement to wait after eating meat, before eating milk, to make sure that the meat is totally done with before actual consumption of milk. What's the reason for that? So there are two major reasons which are brought why after eating meat, after you become pleshix, why you have to wait before having your ice cream. Rashi explains it as having to do with the residual aftertaste of the meat that's left in one's mouth as a result of the meat's fattiness. Meat has all that fat, and when you eat it, it just sticks around for a long time. Even after you've swallowed it and chewed it, there's just that meaty taste, the residue, the fatty residue that's left. And therefore, Rashi says, Chazal required you to wait a significant amount of time in between the meat and before you have milk. The Rambam understands that it's literally that the meat gets stuck in between your teeth. You'll find little pieces of meat still in your teeth for a long period of time afterwards. Be that as it may, those are the two reasons that are offered in the Rishonim why after eating meat you have to wait. So how long do you have to wait for? After you've started, you had your meat, how long do you have to wait until you can have your milk? So the Gemara uses the language of from one meal to the next. That's the language of the Gemara. So after I ate meat, I waited to the next meal to having milk. And that's where all these various customs and minhagim arise from. Well, how long is that? So various different opinions that are offered in the Gemara. How long is from one meal to the next that you have to wait for the residue, the fattiness to disappear, or for the meat that's stuck in between your teeth to go away? How long do you have to wait for that? So the post can discuss. The Rambam mentions the Shulchan Aruch, the custom of waiting only 1 hour. There's the custom, of course, of waiting 3 hours. But both the Shulchan Aruch and the Rambam conclude that the appropriate thing to do is to wait the full 6 hours, which is what the general custom is, to wait 6 hours after eating, unless you have a specific minute. Otherwise, after you've eaten meat, because of either the residue or because of the meat that gets stuck in between your teeth, you wait basically 6 hours. And that's the basic quick standing on 1 foot review of why we wait 6 hours after eating meat, and why most of you never want to become fleshic, because it's just not worth it to have to wait until you can have ice cream. There's the list of things that only an Orthodox Jew would understand or appreciate. So within that list of phrases that no one outside of our circle would ever understand, I don't want to become fleshic. We know. I understand. Like within our circle, we understand I know exactly what you mean, because that ice cream awaits and it's so not worth it. 6 hours. That's where it comes from. But that's not relevant to us really so much tonight. It's just really the background which you need to know, because the Rama adds, let's take a step back before that. What about if I ate dairy first? In other words, the Torah prohibits the two together. Chazal added that if you ate meat first, before you get totally rid of all of the meat stuff, whether or not it's the stuff between the teeth of the residue, you have to wait this, our custom is a 6-hour period. What if I ate dairy, I ate ice cream, and now I want to have my meat? So basically, there's really almost no problem, because general dairy products don't have either of those two issues. You don't have the fatty residue, you don't have it getting stuck in between your teeth, so it's not an issue. And therefore the halacha is as follows. If you want to eat meat right away, you can, provided you do two things, which is basically rinsing out your mouth, which is done in two ways. It's by eating a solid food and by taking a drink. Those two things together is basically all that the halacha requires to make sure that whatever residue of dairy was left in your mouth, take something to eat, something parve, take a drink, and you're really good to go. You can have something meat immediately after. You can even do it under the same bracha. You can make a shahako on your ice cream, have something to eat, eat a carrot, take a drink, and then you can have your steak dinner, provided you wash that. If you don't rinse out your mouth in that manner, you can wait. Basically, the custom is about a half hour, and after a half hour has gone by from having eaten dairy, then you're free to go and you can have meat. There's a discussion, there's a Zohar, which seems to imply a full hour. There's a whole discussion exactly if he means literally an hour. The general custom is a half hour. Either a half hour after dairy, you're good, or immediately, provided you rinse out your mouth with a solid and with a liquid. And in the times of the Gemara, all the posts can talk about washing your hands to make sure that you don't have any milk residue. But generally, except for our children, I don't find people generally eating with their hands, but you should make sure your hands are clean also. But generally, after you eat dairy, you're good to go. So far, so good? Okay, so what about cheeses? What about hard cheeses? So we have, basically, you eat dairy, so you're allowed, you rinse out your mouth, and you're ready to go. What about hard cheeses? Where does this come from, the hard cheeses? So the Marami Rutenberg records that he had eaten some hard cheese, and he sensed the residue in his mouth hours later. That it had the same property as meat, the same fatty property, that it just sticks around, and the cheese sort of melts in your mouth, and then it just gets stuck there and remains. And so he said that it would be appropriate, therefore, to wait after eating the hard cheeses, because it has some of the same properties as meat. And the Ramah quotes that in the Shulchan Aruch as the appropriate thing to do, that a person should wait the full 6 hours, just like they would wait 6 hours after eating meat for switching over to dairy, that if a person ate a hard cheese, because the hard cheese has that same property, that they should also wait the same 6 hours before eating dairy. The post can discuss, is it that both reasons applies? Is it that it has the same fatty residue? Is it that it gets stuck? It's a discussion whether or not it's both. But the bottom line is, the custom, whatever your custom would be for waiting after meat, would apply then to waiting after a hard cheese. So if our custom is, a 6-hour custom, you would have that same 6-hour custom after eating a hard cheese. If you only waited 1 hour, or you waited 3 hours after meat, so whatever the custom was for meat, you'd have that same custom for a hard cheese. Yeah? We're getting there. You guys, that's why we're here. At both of your questions, the very next thing on our list is exactly what you've asked. That's exactly where we're up to. Now, being that this really came from a Ramah, the Ramah is, we're talking 1500s, introduced this custom of waiting after a hard cheese. Not all poskim accept. Yeah, I have plenty of that, but I have a whole bunch here. Yeah. Not all poskim accept this this concept, but it has become the general Ashkenazic principle. The general Ashkenazic custom is to wait after a hard cheese the same 6 hours that the general Ashkenazic custom is to wait after eating meat. I called Rabbi Kushkaman across the street. I said, what's the Sephardic custom? Just so I should be able to share all of that, because the Mechaber in Shulchan Aruch doesn't mention it. So it's not necessarily mentioned in all the Sephardic poskim. So he said it's a discussion in the contemporary poskim of Radzi Yosef. Was lenient and said we don't hold to that custom, and was lenient on the Sfardim not to have to wait at all after hard cheeses, which is like treated like all other dairy. Rav Eliyashiv was stringent and said you should wait the regular amount of time. So Rav Kushkaman told me, so yeah, I have the Gedolia Poskim in the Sfardic world of our time split on this, one being stringent and one being lenient. So he says, I tell people it's appropriate to wait. If you can, it's the right thing to do is to wait. But otherwise, he's lenient, is not as strict as the on the Ashkenazic side, where we would say in a hard cheese that one really should wait. But in any case, if you have any Sephardic leanings, you could ask him across the street yourself. But it has become the general Ashkenazic custom, following the psak of the Ramah, that based on the reports of the Marami Rutenberg, and in the same way that we wait for meat, we would wait for a hard cheese before partaking of anything meat. Okay, what is a hard cheese? Well, that's the big question. Where does it apply? When is it, like, we have to be careful now, because the hard cheese, now the same way nobody wants to become plagics, So now you got to avoid your Caesar salad. That's very, this is an important thing, because now you can't eat meat. But if you don't mind eating meat because you just want to have ice cream, it's really not a big deal. But if you do want to have meat, so then how exactly does it, what do we define as a hard cheese? So this is a not so simple topic. We'll cover it as best we can without getting into specifics, but the main thing is to open up awareness as far as this topic goes. On the back side of your sheet, you'll see a list of a bunch of common cheeses and the length of time for which they are aged. And you'll see there's a wide variety, there's a wide range, even within certain types of cheeses. If you call up the manufacturers and look into them, you'll see there's no, the cheese manufacturing, it's not exact. It goes on this date and comes out exactly that date. There are periods of times, there are different conditions, there are different places, there are different regions. Everybody makes them differently. So these are something to be aware of as we get into now what defines a hard cheese to be familiar with. These are just some examples, and of course there are dozens and dozens and dozens of other types of cheeses out there, but this is just something to be familiar with as far as how long it is aged. So the early Achronim, the post in the Shach V'taz, when they talk about in Shulchan Aruch, well, what is a hard cheese? They use the term 6 months. Well, cheese that's aged for 6 months, and I got quite an education on the making of cheeses. There are all sorts of fascinating YouTube videos and other sources where you can look up how to make cheese if you are interested in it. There's an aging process in the cheese. All cheeses are aged a certain amount of time. The early Achronim use the number 6 months. 6 months is the amount of time that it takes for a cheese to become hard. The discussion post that original statement is, did they mean literally 6 months? Is it a, like Pesach, this is the amount of ounces you have to eat, this is the amount of time you have to eat. 6 months, that's what it meant. Or was the 6 months a roundabout discussion of when cheese becomes hard? But it's not literally 6 months. So there are a couple approaches in the poskim as to how to understand when does the cheese become hard, which we'll mention briefly now. The three basic approaches. Number one, which is the opinion of Rav Heinemann in the Star K, which is one, probably the most lenient of all the approaches, and that is that the cheese, the 6 months is lav dafka. It's not specific exactly to the date 6 months, but 6 months represents a point in time when a cheese becomes so brittle that you can no longer slice it into thin slices. It would crumble. And the way that you deal with the cheese is either through grating it or shredding it. You can't create slices of the cheese because it's become brittle through the amount of time that it has aged. With that definition, one of the main cheeses that we have that fits that definition, that's kosher and available, is generally Parmesan cheese. Most of the other cheeses that we have would not fit that definition, but Parmesan for sure would. That's how you generally get Parmesan, is a grated type of a cheese, and that is refinement. That's the Star K. That's what they will tell you is considered. The definition of it has to be shredded or grated in order to be able to cut it, so to speak. And that is one approach as to how to define what a hard cheese is. There's another approach amongst the poskim that it really is at 6 months. 6 months is the thing. You need to know when did it begin to age? 6 months from that point in time, regardless of the texture, it doesn't matter how hard it got, it doesn't matter how brittle it got. 6 months is what we define as hard cheese. Anything aged less than that is not considered a hard cheese. Anything more than that is considered a hard cheese. Within this approach, which is a much more cut and dry, definition of what's considered a hard cheese, the question is, what about when it's sitting on the shelf? Does 6 months mean in the aging process, or is it 6 months from the time that it began to age to the time that it ends up on your plate in your kitchen? And there are poskim on both sides of that, whether or not you only consider the active aging period as far as what makes it into a hard cheese, or whether or not we would consider it even as it's sitting on the shelf, the aging process continues. Different approaches within the poskim as far as that. My main goal here is to express how complex it is to actually define hard cheese because of all the various opinions. And there is a third opinion in understanding what the 6 months, but that's half of the equation. It's an estimate to understand the necessary hardness. And then there's an additional requirement to have a pungent taste that leaves a strong aftertaste in your mouth. So you really need two components. So just like meat leaves a residue and it has that strong taste and it gets stuck in your teeth, you have to have a cheese that leaves a taste in your mouth that has that residue and it's been aged for 6 months. So anytime you would ask a question of your local Orthodox rabbi, well, what about this cheese? You bought a fancy cheese, you look in the back, you say, I don't know, it's aged, you know, somewhere between 4 and 6 months, or 6 and 8 months, and I'm not really sure. And it's got all these other requirements, so you'd have to work through with your local Orthodox rabbi, or who might turn to Rabbi Stein and say, well, what do you say about this? will that or will that not fit into the definition of a hard cheese? And there's several different definitions as to whether or not it will. The reason why I gave you the list on the back, if you just go with the definition, the middle definition of 6 months is it, it's very simple. You could find out exactly when it was, when the beginning of the aging process took place. If it's 6 months after that date, which in today's modern world everything is stamped with the date, you know exactly what's going on, it would be considered a hard cheese. But many of the postkim would require some of the other requirements, that it be more brittle and that it have that pungent taste as well, to actually be considered a hard cheese. So without really answering the question as to what's considered a hard cheese, which I didn't really do, other than give you a lot of different opinions as to what would be considered a hard cheese, and I'll tell you in a second why I'm doing that. There's another major issue, which is, what if that cheese is cooked? Does the cooking of the cheese impact its status as being a hard cheese? So all the posts and quotes from the Sefer of the Yad Yehuda, I was trying to get more biographical information on him, but I was not able to, that he held that once it's cooked, you don't have to wait any longer. It's not considered a hard cheese. It loses its status of hard cheeseness, that which is required to wait, once it's been cooked. So that all lasagnas or pizzas or anything of that, there's nothing to worry about. All you have to worry about would be a Caesar salad type of scenario. But once it's been cooked, it's totally fine. Thing is, many, many postings don't accept that distinction. Just the fact that it was cooked doesn't take away the nature of the cheese, the residual effect of the cheese. The Star K flat out does not accept this tshuva at all. If you look on the Star K's website, they will put in big bold letters, hard cheeses do not matter if it was cooked. You still have to wait the same amount of time. Rav Avram Gordimer reports from the students of Rav David Feinstein that he did not accept it. Ravelsky is one of the poskim from the OU. He has this combination in which he holds that if the cheese was actually melted into the food, then the fact that it was cooked and melted in, then he will accept this leniency and not force you to have to wait 6 hours. But if it was only sprinkled on top and cooked, and you could still see it, it's sitting on top like pizza, then it would retain its hard cheesiness. So the whole idea of a cooking filled with lots of different opinions as well. Why do I mention all of this, being that I've given you almost nothing of clarity as far as hard cheeses go? That's for the following two reasons. Number one, is to be aware of the fact that Parmesan cheese is going to be considered a hard cheese almost in all scenarios, and something to be very aware of. When you go to restaurants, Caesar salad, there are other types of food where you find lots of Parmesan cheese situations. Eggplant Parmesan, yeah.
In the ranch dressing.
So that's where you need to be.
So that
scenario with the Parmesan cheese on a pizza, which even like Ravelsky, for example, who does hold of the heads over there, but not in that scenario, would require you to wait 6 hours. So there'd be no steak dinner; it would just be ice cream for dinner if you had one of those. But that's something to be very much aware of, is the Parmesan cheese issue. The other issue why it's worth going through all this, even though it makes it very confusing as to what exactly will be considered a hard cheese and not a hard cheese, is the awareness. Because if you are a cheese eater, and now there are numerous other places in town where you can actually buy cheeses, or you go to other places and there are cheese out there, this is something to be aware of. So you have to ask a question. I can't tell you today, there's just too much information to be able to give you something that you'll possibly remember 4 months from now when you have a certain cheese. But what I can give you, and I hope you got from this opening act before we get to the bug checking, is that it's an issue. And so that when you have a cheese, which is one of those fancier cheeses which you buy in a specialty shop or you picked it up somewhere, that's something to check out. How long was it aged? What are the issues involved? Because it's very possible that it can be considered a hard cheese. A final note, the most American cheeses, the mozzarella, Munster, cheddar cheese, almost all those are not considered hard cheeses. And those standard cheeses that we have is a non-issue. Someone just brought me the Pirate's Booty, which is aged white cheddar on the front right there. So do you have to wait 6 hours after eating your aged white cheddar? So it's a good question. So I asked Rabbi Stein. I said, Rabbi Stein, what about this? He said, most cheddar cheeses in America that are produced there are for sure not aged. They do them either in a quickened way, or it's just not an issue with almost all cheddar cheeses, even if they claim that they are aged. But some of the names that you can't pronounce of the cheeses, those you have to be worried about. Those are the fancier cheeses. Those are the ones that they're made, they're aged, and it's what to be aware of. So what I leave you with is number one, for sure, Parmesan cheese is almost always a problem to be aware of when you're having Parmesan cheese. And number two, when you are having cheeses, it's something to ask a question. Myself or Rabbi Stein will be happy to check into it, find out exactly what type of cheese it was, where it was manufactured, how long was it, to know what to do. But it's something that needs a question to be asked, because hard cheese, is general Ashkenazi custom, is to wait the 6 hours, just like we would for meat. Yeah.
For instance, a Swiss cheese is... very nature is to be aged before it's even packaged. So if the cheese is aged, like a Swiss cheese, the 6 or a month before, by the time it gets to the store, it's already aged cheese. So now you're telling us that any Swiss cheese that we buy in the store, it should be considered a hard cheese?
So the Swiss cheese is discussed, it depends where it was made. Real bona fide Swiss-made Swiss cheese is almost always considered a hard cheese. American-made Swiss cheese, in our microwave generation, in which everything is done quickly, they make their Swiss cheese quickly also. And it's on the bottom of your list. American-made Swiss cheese is generally not aged for a full 6 months. It's done in a different way. So if you have the real deal, then yeah, it's generally, it's on the list here somewhere, Swiss cheese, right? The real one? Right, to the bottom, the American one is 3 to 4 months, but there's, the Emmental is 6 to 14 months. That generally is considered a hard cheese if it's the real Swiss cheese. Yeah. Yeah, so it's on. So there are two types. If it's from cow milk, it's almost never. Kind of from coffee. I don't know. Feta cheese is generally not. I think generally not. Yeah, feta cheese is generally not considered a hard cheese. Yeah.
If you go to a restaurant at someone's house and you are not able to ask them, if you go out to a restaurant or to someone's house and for whatever reason you just can't find out, do you think you need to be safe and wait? There's a lot of time where can you, because you don't know.
It's a standard cheese, like a fancy cheese or a regular?
Well, just however I said, like communion or ranch dressings, do you think if there's no way to find out, you need to err on the side of caution and wait?
I don't
time,
know.
Or do you think
there's a chazaka that you have
don't
hard
know.
Cheese?
Exactly. Is there a chazaka that
you have? I would doubt it. Today, how many hard cheeses have we come across? Besides for the Parmesan.
Yeah.
I don't know. You're going to say, ask a look at the bathroom. I'm going to say, Rabbi Stein, what do you say? So we're going to go back and forth on this one. If it's a regular cheese, there's nothing fancy, you just got a cheese dish in a restaurant, like a...
or a sauce or something.
I don't know, I would doubt it.
Sometimes it depends on how much you pay for the dish.
If it was really expensive.
They're using expensive cheese if they were.
Sorry, it's more expensive?
It's like that, it's more of a hardened cheese, but standard, I would doubt it.
When it's packaged and you're buying store, it's not aging anymore. So we're only talking about when they age it.
So that was that's a debated amongst the post and whether or not the aging process continues.
Yes, yeah, so what did you have a response to that? Because you said look at the date of the pack. Like, if I'm buying Swiss cheese that you think maybe is aged for 3 months in the factory, but I don't know, I have to look at the package that I buy to see how long it's going to sit on the shelf.
Yeah. So I would imagine on that, unless you think otherwise, it would be generally be makel on only during the active aging process. So in other words, that we wouldn't consider the shelf life as continuing its act. I don't know, I never buy cheese. What are they? It's on the. From when it started the aging process, right? That's when they. Yeah. It should tell you when it's. Yeah. Yeah. Is there an established AKC list of hardened cheese or that?
It varies from chef to chef and time to time, so we don't really. Currently, Broadway Cafe and Good Friend Grill, which are the two dairy places, both use Parmesan.
Do you?
In certain dishes or in certain.
So how do I know if it's not on the pizza? I don't know.
Usually good to ask, if, you know. In other words, if you go to a new dairy restaurant you've never been to, and there are certain dishes you want, you can ask if they use Parmesan or is it in this dish. Mm-hmm. That's the only way to really do it.
Do you think for Broadway and Good Friends,
so
then one should ask if
you
use Parmesan?
Yeah, I don't think Broadway is using it in their regular pizza, but they use it in their stuffed pizza, and they use it in their ranch, and then Good Friends uses it in their regular pizza. But I think it changes from time to time.
The standard Good Friend pizza has Parmesan in it. Okay, I'd like to turn the floor over to Rabbi Stein because his discussion is, I don't want to say more important, but it's why you're all here. So, yeah, one last question.
Yeah.
Ezekiel, I'm sorry, the Ezekiel bread. I realized this was going to go much longer, so I saw almost all the posts say to make hamotzi and to bench on it, so it was like pretty cut and dry as far as, if you want to know how it's made, there's a large discussion, but the general halacha is almost all the kashrus agencies across the board. I found there was one Chabad Rav in Los Angeles, I think said it was a shahakol, but almost every other agency held this hamotzi, you wash, you bench, and treat it like regular bread. So, there you go. Okay, thank you, Rabbi Stein.
Thank you for listening to Torah Media Atlanta. Won't you consider making a donation to help support this important work? Just go to TorahMediaAtlanta.com and click on the donate link. Thank you very much.